All right, all right. If you could make your way to your seats, that would be fantastic. We are ready to rock and roll here. And as you're going back to your seats from connecting with people, I just want to share with you a couple of things. One is we have our men's retreat later on this month, the 19th through the 22nd. We have a few seats available yet. If you are interested in going to Gettysburg, it is a phenomenal retreat. I'm telling you right now, it is life-changing. I encourage you to come and be a part of that. It is amazing. If you just simply have questions about it, please come talk to me. And listen, for those of you who maybe this is a factor in it, if money, we don't ever want money to be a reason why you would not be able to do something. So if money's a factor, just talk to me. No one else will know. We can just connect with each other and make something happen. So that's the men's retreat. And then next week is fall kickoff. And today, obviously, you know, we still got the summer hangers-on who aren't here today trying to get the last couple of weeks of summer in. So thank you for being here. But next week is fall kickoff. It's going to be so awesome. I'm so excited about it. And we've got food trucks that are going to be here, and it's just going to be an amazing time. And then we're going to kick off a couple of new series after that, which I'm super excited about. So if you have your Bibles, you're going to want to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, if you don't have a Bible, we've got Bibles in the back for you to take and to keep, okay? And if you don't have your Bible, it's okay. I've got, we'll have the scripture up on the screen, all right? So when I was about 22 years old, I think it was 21, 22 years old, I can't remember, I think I was doing construction or I was doing landscaping in San Diego, California, something like that, that just after a long day in San Diego in summer or, I was hot and sweaty and dirty. I hadn't shaved that day. I was wearing a hat, you know. And for those of you who don't know, like, because you've never seen me with long hair, I keep my hair short, but back in the day when I was younger, I had, like, really long hair, and my hair, when it gets long, gets really curly, and so, which was great when I was in, you know, middle school, high school, college, because, like, I could get out of the shower and then towel it off and then do this thing, and it would just go poof, like that, right? And then I had helmet head, and when I'd wear a hat, all my hair forms to the sun, and it looks like I've got like a 50s beehive going on there. And so I got done on this particular day working, and I drove home. I'm sweaty. I'm stinky. You know, I've got 5 o'clock shadow. I've been wearing a hat, so my hair's a mess. And I pull in after a day of work, and my dad's out there, and my dad says, "Hey, hop in the truck." I'm like, "Okay." And so I hop in the truck because that's what I do. My dad said, "Hop in the truck, get in the truck." We have that kind of relationship. I hop in the truck, and after I hop in the truck and we're starting to pull away, I ask the key question, which is, what do you think it is? Where are we going, right? That's the question. Where are we going? And he says, "We're going to get your passport picture taken." I was like, "What?" And that summer, I was actually getting ready to go overseas on my first overseas mission trip to Hungary. So totally the worst possible situation to get my picture taken. And here's how I know. Because on the mission trip, I got my passport back. And, it was horrible. And so we get to the border of Hungary. And I can't remember what country we were coming from, Germany or something like that. And we're getting ready to go into Hungary. And we have to pass forward all of our passports, the group of people I was with. And so the dude at the border crossing, he's like looking at people's names, checking them out. Literally, this happens. He's all, "Doug Svink, Doug Svink." And I'm all, "Yeah, here." And he's all, dude started laughing at my passport picture. That's when I knew I missed the opportunity with my dad to say, "Where are we going?" Okay? Because it totally jacked that up. And when you read scripture, there are certain times that the disciples or people who are associated with God, God says something. The first question they should have asked was, "Where are we going?" Okay? And today we're going to look at one of those situations where the disciples had that opportunity but didn't ask the question. Before we go any farther, let's just take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence, God. We praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds and challenge us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we jump into the scripture, I was thinking about this, the fact that I actually had a picture of what I looked like. Now, this is Nick Nolte, okay? Right? Holy cow. And it wasn't much better than that, okay? So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, okay? Three simple verses that are going to help us get to where we want to be today. So in the scriptures, Matthew 4, 18 through 20, if you don't have your Bible, you can look on the screen along with me, okay? While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, which makes sense, right? And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Now, two very simple things that I want us to see in this passage of Scripture today. Two key phrases that Jesus utters in this moment. The first one is simply made up of two words. Follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus just says, follow me, to this group of dudes who are standing on the side as fishermen throwing their nets into the Sea of Galilee. Now, having been to Israel recently, Jesus would have been up around the coast, up in an area called Capernaum, which is where Peter and Andrew lived, okay? And now let's just kind of set the setting of who Andrew and Peter are, okay? These guys are the lower end of the spiritual spectrum. In that time, a child would go through and he would do his learning. He would memorize the Torah, okay? The first five books of the Bible, memorize them, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'd memorize them. And then they'd begin to memorize the prophets. And they would do all of these. They'd get to their bar mitzvah, and they would get to that time when they're basically graduating from school. And this was the opportunity where they could look and say whether they wanted to proceed on with their education, to move into a place where they may be able to become a rabbi themselves. But the rabbis would only take the top echelon, the cream of the crop. And here's why. Because these rabbis would look, and in that time, they would look and they would try to find the best students. They would keep track of who the ones who were smart, who memorized, who could ask good questions. Because that's what a good student does. He asks good questions. And they would keep an eye on that. And when the time came, those students would look at the rabbis and they would try to decide which rabbi they wanted to try and take them to the next level. Because their connection with that rabbi wasn't like for us going to college or university. Basically, what they did, if they asked a rabbi if they could follow him and sit at his feet, and that rabbi conceded, they basically left their family behind. I mean, like, gone, done, really not even like holidays with them. They were the sole, almost, property of this rabbi. They went into complete submission to this rabbi. If this rabbi said to one of his students, if he said, listen, I want you to go out tonight by yourself and I want you to sleep out in a field by yourself, and I know it'll be cold, you'll get dew all over yourself, but I don't want you to come back here until the rooster crows three times tomorrow. I want you to go do that right now. You know what would happen? In today's culture, kids would look at a teacher and go, are you crazy? Why would I do that? Why would I go out there and spend the night? Why do you want me to do that? What field? Where am I? And we have 1,000 questions. But you know what that student did? They were fully submitted to their rabbi. And if that rabbi said, go out into that field, spend the night out in that field, I know it's going to be cold and there's going to be dew on the ground, but I don't want you to come back until the rooster crows three times, that student would immediately go out into that field, spend the night, because he was fully submitted to what the rabbi said. And the rabbi is looking for the best students because the best students carry the name of that rabbi. One of the famous rabbis, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, and so Rabbi Akiva, he would look for the best students because when that student was done, he was forever associated with, in fact, that student would say, I sat underneath the Rabbi Akiva. Or Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. sat underneath Gamaliel. He was known as a disciple of Gamaliel. And so Andrew and Simon obviously didn't make the cut. So what would happen is when the time came, basically the rabbi would look at someone like Peter and he would say, God bless you as you carry on your family tradition. And that would be basically the way that that rabbi was saying to Peter, you didn't make the cut. You're done. Go join the family business. And so that's what Andrew and Simon are doing. They're involved. They didn't make the cut, and they weren't worthy of any rabbi's time. They were fishermen. And all of a sudden, this rabbi, not super well known at this point in time, comes walking by where they're throwing their nets out. He comes walking by right there on the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum. He walks by and he says two words to start. He says, follow me. What would be your first question? If someone said, follow me, wouldn't we be like, well, where are you going? Maybe I want to know where you're going. You going to Disneyland? I'm there, okay? Where are you going? You're going to the dump? I'll catch up with you later, okay? Where are you going? No, what does Scripture say? After Jesus said, follow me, Scripture says they dropped everything, and followed Jesus. Because that's what a disciple does. A disciple drops everything to follow God. And for some of us, especially here in the United States of America, we struggle with that. We struggle with being submissive to somebody. We struggle, some of us struggle with our boss when our boss tells us to do something, or a teacher, a professor who tells us what we have to do or what we need to do. And yet a disciple dropped everything. Those fishermen, they're in the family business. What happened to Peter and Andrew's dad when they're like, peace out, Dad, we're gone, okay? What happened? Well, their dad, in all honesty, was probably pretty proud. Probably pretty proud that a rabbi picked up on their sons, on his sons, to take them along. But they left everything. And for some of us here today, maybe there's something that God is telling you that you need to do. And you've been struggling with this. And in this moment, God's saying, you need to stop struggling, just drop everything and move. And move in obedience. Drop everything. The second thing that we see is that Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. I love the fact that Jesus taps into where they are exactly, helps them to understand. He knows who they are. He knows what drives them. He knows what they know. And he taps, he says, I will make you fishers. And they're like, yeah, we get that. Of men. Fishers of men. Now, here's the interesting thing. This whole idea of being a fisher of men was in a process. It was a process. It wasn't like Jesus just looked at Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and said, you are now fishers of men. Woo! All right, no, that's not what happened, right? I mean, it wasn't like Peter just went from this cranky old fisherman to, I am now a saint of the Lord God Almighty. I don't know why they always have a deep English accent, but anyway, okay. So it didn't happen that way. As you look at it, as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you read through the biographies of Jesus, you see that this has been a 3-year process. Or even as you read in the book of Acts, written by Luke, after the Gospel of Luke was written, you find that maybe it was even a longer period of time than 3 years, a longer process for them to become the disciples that Jesus had created them to be. Being a disciple doesn't happen right when we accept Jesus. It starts. And I would submit to you that it's a lifelong journey. That being a disciple of Jesus is a lifelong journey. All you have to do is look at Peter, look at the other disciples, look at Paul, look at it's a lifelong journey. And so today, in the same way as being a disciple is a process, I believe that God has called our church to do great things. And we are in the process of God doing incredible things here at Lighthouse Community Church. So I just want to take some time this morning, just a few minutes, and talk about where God is leading us and what's going on underneath the surface, okay? So if you're here for the first time, or you've only been here a few times, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about is kind of insider stuff. And hopefully maybe you look at it and go, hey, wow, that's good stuff to know. For those of you here who are here at Lighthouse, you've been at Lighthouse, this is your home church, then this is going to be information that's maybe a little bit long overdue, but helps you to know where we're headed and what God has been doing, okay? And so today I kind of want to give you a little bit of a state of the church address. Okay? Because I'm so excited about what God is doing. I'm so pumped about what is down the road for Lighthouse and what is happening and what He has called you and me to do, not just inside of these walls, but especially outside of these walls, because people are dying and need to know Jesus. And there's some great stuff coming down the pike, and I'm excited about it. So last year, on three different occasions, and I've shared this a little bit. Last summer, we had a staff retreat and a board retreat. And then last fall, we got together with a group of people, some leadership people in our church. And we began to talk about where we believe God was leading Lighthouse and what we needed to emphasize. And the awesome thing was, at three separate meetings, we had unity in the three things that we believed God was calling us to do. It was phenomenal. It was only something that God could pull off, right? To have that kind of unity. And so what God shared with us was that we needed to focus our time and attention on discipleship, outreach, and children and youth. And so I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about where we are with each of those three things, okay? So the first thing we're going to talk about is discipleship. Discipleship. We have had a team that has been meeting over the last probably 8 months, 8-9 months. We've been talking and meeting and developing and searching God and praying about this discipleship pathway. Because being a disciple of Jesus today is the same as it was when Peter and Andrew were called into ministry by Jesus. It is a process. And so we've been working on what does this process look like that God has for us to develop biblical disciples, not Western culture disciples, not American disciples, but disciples that Jesus Christ raised up himself. And we read a bunch of books, and we've talked and mapped out. And one of the things that we understood, one thing, just to kind of give you an insight of what we saw, it was so exciting to me. We read a book, and it was kind of a workbook called Making Disciples Jesus' Way. And it's written by a guy by the name of Doug Greenwald. And Doug Greenwald was talking about the difference between like Greco-Roman way of thinking and Middle Eastern ways of thinking. And they're almost like diametrically opposed in how they do things. Greco-Roman, which is America, is kind of based on that Greco-Roman way of thinking, okay? Where words mean something. Words carry a lot of power. Okay, and for the Jews in the Middle East, it's not what you say, it's what you do that is important. For instance, he gave this really cool illustration. He said, if a Greek person walked up to a man and said, "Do you love your wife?" That Greek man would probably say, "Yes, I love and cherish my wife." Well, the whole discussion's over. If someone came up and said, does he love his wife? Yeah, absolutely he loves his wife. How do you know? Because he said he does. That's how we look at things. We base things on what people say. On the other side of it, a Jew in Jesus' time would not have even asked the question because they knew that actions speak louder than what? Words. And so rather than asking a person, "Do you love and cherish your wife?" you know what they would do? This person would actually follow that man around. Which sounds creepy, I know, but it makes sense. He'd follow him around. He'd watch how he interacted with people. He would especially watch how he interacted with his wife. And after 3 or 4 or 5 days of perceiving and watching and collecting information by observing this man and how he treated people and especially how he treated his wife, he could come to a conclusion of whether this man actually loved his wife or if it was just lip service, right? And so we talked about that. There's so many different Christians who are Christians in name only. They carry the name of Christian, but they don't live it out. And a disciple lives the life, okay? I love what Scripture says in 1 John 2:6, and I've said this before. Whoever claims to live in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. It's not enough to talk. We have to walk it out. And so we talked, how do we do this? And we talked about how one of the things that we talked about was the idea that it's not enough to teach and then do. That's diametrically opposed to how Jesus did things. Teach and then do. That's what we do. I stand up here on stage. I present a message. I give you a couple of application points. And then I hope and pray that you walk out of here, in between here and Culver's, you don't forget the things that I've talked about, that you've actually taken notes. And then at some point, you're going to apply the things that we talked about. We teach and then do. But that's not how Jesus did things. Jesus did and then taught. He would take his disciples to places where no other Jew would go. Why? Because God loves those people. Jesus would take his boat with his disciples and go to the Gentile area of Galilee. And he'd get out of the boat and his disciples would stay in. You know why? Because to step out of the boat would make them unclean. And there's Jesus stepping right out of the boat. And he would heal people. And people would come to a deeper faith in God. And then he'd get back in the boat. And then he would say, let me tell you why I did this. Let me tell you why this happened. He taught and then did. And so we've been working on this whole discipleship idea of how we can begin a pathway of making disciples, biblical disciples. And I'm so excited because after 8 months, we got level one done. Okay, you're not as excited as I am. We got level one done. And I know some of you are going, that's it? After 8 months, you only got level one done? No. We've got the whole foundation for the coming levels. And level one is the most important one. So we've got a lot of stuff that we've done. But level one is just going to blow our minds because it fits into the whole do and then teach mentality. That we begin to understand what it means to live as disciples, not just say, I'm a disciple. Because if we're going to say we live in Jesus, then we have to walk as Jesus walked. And so I'm super excited because there's a church out in Irvine, California called Mariners Church, and they have a discipleship experience called Rooted, okay? And Rooted is a phenomenal 10-week experience. And we're going to begin to encourage our church to go through this 10-week discipleship. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care if you've been a Christian forever, okay? We all need this. As I was looking through it, I was getting excited. There are things that I need to know. There are areas that I need to grow in. There are things in there that are so exciting. In fact, if you're interested and you want to know more about it, you can go to www.experiencerooted.com and you can begin to see what it is and what Rooted is, okay? It's going to be an amazing opportunity. It's the first step of us all collectively understanding what a disciple looks like and how we set that foundation to become disciples. I can't begin to tell you how excited I am that we will be a unified body in Christ, looking more like Christ. And not only looking more, but living more like Jesus in a community, 61% of which has no idea who Jesus is or doesn't care. And we get to show him what he looks like. We get to show them what Jesus looks like. This first level is critical. And I know there's a number of you who are like, well, I've been through 17 different discipleship, things. And it's like, great. Then you can help us lead, but you got to go through it. It's going to be awesome. I'm telling you that right now. The second thing, okay, that we talked about was outreach. And for those of you who were here in May, you remember that I introduced you to a friend of mine by the name of Esto Juarez. And Esto works with Momentum at Urban Alliance. And we've begun a relationship with Urban Alliance in so that we can begin to funnel our people into outreach opportunities in our community. We've looked at it, and I've shared this with you before if you've been here. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We don't need to spend the time or the people hours in order to figure out what we're going to do when a place like Urban Alliance is crushing it. We can just come alongside of them and be a part of what they're doing. And we're going to begin to see opportunities to go out and do street prayer and evangelism, to engage with families and people in our community, to see how we can engage with people to bring them Jesus through outreach opportunities, through times when, coming soon, there will be a time when we shut the doors on our church on a Sunday and just say, hey, we're serving Jesus. The way that we're worshiping today is by being out in our community, serving our community. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so there's been stuff that's been going on. We've got Christmas Serve coming up very soon, which we're very excited about. And it's an opportunity for all of us to engage in blessing our community who doesn't have enough, to celebrate and understand the love and the gift that Jesus Christ is. It's our opportunity to do that. But it's not a one and done, my friends. It's not like, hey, I was at Christmas Serve, I did my outreach for the year. No, that's just one thing. And there's other opportunities that are coming down the pike. So we've got discipleship, we've got outreach, and the final thing is children and youth ministry. Children and youth ministry. You know, backing up for just a second, just thinking about the whole outreach component, I want us to be able to answer the question positively. If Lighthouse stopped existing tomorrow, would anybody notice? If Lighthouse, if fire swept this place, a meteor came down and only hit our property, and Lighthouse didn't exist anymore, would we be missed? And the only way the answer is yes is when we start getting out into our community with the love of Jesus Christ. So finally, children and youth, you know, we're all saddened that Pastor Chuck and Shannon are leaving. But in no way are we moving into a maintenance mode. There's no way that we're moving into a place where it's like, oh, we're just going to try and maintain. No, that's not it at all. I'm looking at this as an opportunity to grow. Right now, in children's ministry, and let me just say, if you haven't had a chance to walk through the children's ministry area, the Lighthouse Kids area, I am so proud of our staff. I'm so proud of the volunteers who put in hundreds of hours to make that happen, okay? I'm so proud, and it looks so awesome and so engaging, and we're about, today is our open house. It's about 90% done. We're saving just a few things for the last moment so that you, that's not really true. We just didn't get it done, okay? You all knew that, didn't you? Right? You're going, come on, you're blowing smoke. We're 90%. In the next week or two, we'll have it complete. But I want you to go back there and look. And when you look at it, you'll notice something. It reflects our community. Right over the door, as the kids walk into the back, it says reaching 61% starts here. Here's why. Because we're not babysitting. Those kids back there are not being babysat. They're disciples. They're disciples in training. And we want them to know that they have the opportunity to reach out into their community. And so when you walk back there, when you walk in, the first thing you see is you walk into Bronson Park. And so we've tried to make every room and every situation something that's easily recognizable because it's our community. And God has called us to reach into our community. And so when you walk in on the left-hand side, you walk into the Nature Center. And Mark Hubbard, thank you. Mark Hubbard is doing this. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember his name and I got it wrong last hour. But Mark Hubbard's painting this beautiful mural, and there's pictures of, you know, of animals in there. And it just looks so awesome. And then across the way where the babies and toddlers are is Flesher Field Park. Okay, and it looks, it's huge, gigantic kite in there. And it's just all really awesome. And then you go down the way and we've got the Gilmore Car Museum. His decor's just got a bunch of car stuff. It looks so cool. And then you've got the Air Zoo with all kinds of airplane stuff in there. And you've got, let me see, what else do we have? We've got the State Theater. And you walk in there, it looks so awesome. When you walk in, it looks like a theater. And we did that, number one, because we want our children's facility to be safe, and we want it to be engaging, and we want it to be attractive, and we want it to be fun. And we want our kids, we want them to have fun. And there's going to be a lot of fun, but first and foremost, they are being trained up to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so while Pastor Chuck and Shannon are leaving, this isn't a time for us to stop. This is a time for us to engage. It's the beginning of the school year. Youth ministry doesn't stop. Next week, we've got our fall kickoff. We got a great thing happening at the French's house. We got a water war going on with a bonfire. We're going to have hot dog roasts. It's going to be incredibly fun. And Jesus is going to be talked about there. Why? Because we're making disciples in youth. Because children and students matter to God. Children and students must matter to us. And so there's a lot going on. It's like, well, Doug, what can we do? What can we do? Everybody on the count of three, I want you to say, Doug, what can we do? Ready? One, two, three. I am so glad you asked that question. Okay, there's two things that I want you to do. The first one, obviously, if you go to Lighthouse for any amount of time, you know that the first thing I almost always say is pray. Pray. Pray for our teachers. Last night, we were right here. We were in this room during our prayer and praise night, and I want to encourage you to make that an important part of every month of yours. Okay, but last night, we were here praying. Praying for elementary school students, middle school students, high school students, college students, graduate students. Because I tell you something? For those of you who are over 25 years old in here, the schools that kids go to today is radically different than the school you went to. The pressures that they face on a daily basis is infinitely deeper and harsher and more disturbing than what you faced and what I faced. And they need our prayers. And we spent time praying for teachers and administrators and staff of schools. And we just prayed because children matter. And so one of the things you can do is pray. Pray for our students here that they will be discipled in Christ. Pray for our teachers and for our youth volunteers that they will be engaging and passionate about Jesus as they work with students. Okay, so those three things, those are the things that we've been looking at. And I know before today and maybe even in the following days, it's easy to ask when you look at these three areas, is there anything going on? Because you really haven't heard a lot from us. Is there anything going on? What's happening? I don't see any movement going on. But trust me, there are things that are happening just under the surface that are about to blow up. Josh Weldon tells the story of the Chinese bamboo tree. And he says the Chinese will go out and they will plant a bamboo seed. And they will water it and fertilize it. And the first year they water it and fertilize it and you don't see anything. And the second year they go out and they water it and they fertilize it and you don't see anything. And the third year they water it and fertilize it and you don't see anything. And the fourth year, they water it and fertilize it, and you don't see anything. And the fifth year, they water it and fertilize it. And then somewhere in that fifth year, all of a sudden, something happens. You ready for this? In that fifth year, within a six-week period, those bamboo trees will grow 90 feet in 6 weeks. 90 feet in year five in 6 weeks. Now, here's the question that you and I ask ourselves, okay? Did those bamboo trees grow in 6 weeks, or did they grow in 5 years? Couldn't see anything. For over 4 years, you couldn't see anything. But in 6 weeks of that fifth year, 90 feet. And I would submit to you today that there are things that are going on just under the surface. There are things that are happening just under the surface in discipleship, in outreach, in children and youth. Things that God is preparing for us to do. And can I tell you something? Just as I close us off here, I can't do this alone. I can't. I mean, I could try, but I will fail epically. Our staff can't do it. Our staff cannot carry this load to do what God has called us to do. We can't do it. God created the body of Christ to make this happen. God created you to be a part of what he is doing here in Kalamazoo. So my hope and my prayer is that when you walk out of here today, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt there are big things coming down the pike, and we need you to be a part. We need people to get off the sidelines, to get off the bench, and to engage. For some people to look at it and go, hey, you know what? I will work with third grade boys or seventh grade boys, which that's a calling in and of itself, okay? Or maybe you're looking at it going, well, I don't want to be, but you can do something with, building and grounds. You can ride a lawnmower. You can help us build or change lights or whatever. Or maybe you're really good at cooking. You can do hospitality things. Or you love greeting people. You're a people person. There's a lot of opportunity. And especially when it comes to outreach, we all participate in taking the name of Jesus outside of these walls to a community that desperately needs it. I'm going to ask the band to come up right now. And I'm telling you, I'm so geeked right now. Stand up with me. Everybody stand up with me. Because we're going to sing one of my favorite new songs that came out recently. And it's called Raise a Hallelujah. I love this song. And part of it to me of Raise a Hallelujah is because God's doing things here at Lighthouse. God's preparing the soil here at Lighthouse. God's preparing Kalamazoo for great things to happen, for churches, plural, not just Lighthouse. God's doing great things in a lot of different churches. But what's our part? And more specifically, what's your part to bring the name of Jesus Christ to the world that desperately needs it? Father, we come to you this morning and we raise a hallelujah. We praise the name of Jesus above all names. We glorify you, God. And I pray as we've been doing some work underground here, God, as we've been setting foundations in discipleship and in outreach and in children and youth, God, I pray that you would fertilize and water that, because God, I believe that explosive things are about to come. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, Almighty God, that we would be engaged. We would not be satisfied with sitting on the sidelines, knowing that we are your hands and feet, knowing that we are your fingers and toes, knowing that we are your ears and your eyes and your lips and your mouth, God, that you choose to use us to bring the name of Jesus Christ to a world that desperately, desperately needs it. God, we raise a hallelujah. You are our King and our Lord. You are our Savior. Without you, there is no life. And so today, God, with all our hearts, we raise a hallelujah to the one we love, the lover of our souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's raise this loud as we sing. Be reminded that we raise a hallelujah in our troubles and in our good times. I raise a hallelujah
in the presence of my enemies.
I raise a hallelujah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I was supposed to do that right before this song was that. I hate when I forget stuff. Dang it. No. Yeah. Yeah. Before Aaron comes up and closes us out, I'm going to have the. Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. Perfect. Is alive. Raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. Raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Here you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Woo!
Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. King is alive. Sing a little louder. 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 In the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder. Louder than the unbelief. Weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder. Hands up my enemies. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. A little louder. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Don't under the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, your King is alive. We'll see. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing it. Hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. Can I stop doing that? Can I get a praise God? Isn't he awesome? Well, right now I'm going to throw a wrench in things because I want to sing that chorus one more time. And as we're doing that, last week we had communion and I totally biffed it. And we had the opportunity and didn't take it to receive a benevolence offering. And just so you know, there's two things you need to know about this. Number one, this is completely voluntary. If the Lord lays it on your heart, please give. If he doesn't, don't give. Nobody's going to know. It doesn't matter. It's just between you and God. The second thing is 100% of every penny that we get in benevolence offering goes to help people outside of our walls or outside of, it doesn't go to general budget, doesn't go to staff, it goes to help people. In fact, on this benevolence offering, 50% of our benevolence offering we're receiving today is going to help the victims of Hurricane Dorian. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward right now. And we're going to go ahead as we sing this chorus one more time before Aaron comes up to dismiss us. We're going to receive this offering right now. Father, we pray your blessings on this. May the funds that we receive go specifically to meet the needs of others, to praise the name of Jesus, and to glorify God the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.